Now, we've been talking about the book of John, chapter 11, and we're talking about how Jesus went and he went to the temple. He went to the temple, he examined what was going on in the temple, he left the temple, and as he's walking back home, he sees a fig tree. This fig tree is in full bloom, leaves everywhere. So Jesus gets to the fig tree, and like we've talked about before, he reaches into the fig tree, but the text says it was not yet the season for figs. So he reaches into the fig tree, there's no figs in the tree, and Jesus was hungry. So Jesus looks at the tree and says, "Let no one eat from you ever again." He walks away. The next morning, him and his disciples go to the temple. They get to the temple for the second time. They had gone the day before. Now the second day, they go to the temple. When they go to the temple, Jesus walks in, sees the money changers in there, and starts turning over tables. Money flying everywhere. Throws them out of the temple, and then walks back in the temple and starts teaching. After this whole thing goes on, his disciples have watched him walk into a room, turn over people's money, run the people out of the building, and then come back in and teach. They're following Jesus for sure, right? Any man you meet like that can turn people's money over and then walk back in the room and teach, he's a bad dude. So Jesus now goes back, and they're walking back. They go all the way back to the town where they were. The third day, they're coming back out, walking past the same way, crossing the path where this fig tree is. When they get to the fig tree, Peter looks and says, "Master, the fig tree you cursed is now withered away." Now, turn to your neighbor again. Neighbor, I see your leaves, but do you have any fruit? Uh-oh. See, Jesus spoke to this tree because the tree didn't have fruit. But it wasn't the season for fruit, so why is Jesus pointing out to this whole scenario? It's not because of the tree, it's because he needs his disciples to understand something. He needs his disciples to understand that everything that is in full bloom is not necessarily fruitful. Amen? So when he went to the temple is a place where there should be prayer going on, except there wasn't prayer going on. They had leaves, but it had no fruit. See, every time you encounter things, you need to not just go by what you see, you need to discern. You need to be able to discern things. You need to be able to look at situations and not just go by what it looks like. You need to be able to step back and discern what's actually there, what's actually going on. See, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, Isaiah starts describing the anointing of God. And he said the anointing has a couple of aspects. It says a spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge, understanding, a spirit of counsel, a spirit of might, the fear of the Lord, and discernment. And when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit doesn't just give us the power to sing great. He doesn't just give us the power to dance. He doesn't give us the power to have a great preaching message. The Holy Spirit does not come for that type of anointing. He comes to give us a spirit of power, of might, of understanding, discernment. Too many people in the body of Christ are ignoring the real power of the Holy Spirit. See, you know, I can stir up your emotions and we can dance. I can stir up your emotions. You can say, "Oh, I felt something." We can do any of that. We can do that. Music has the power to do any of those things. But there's something that goes past that. that is God's power that he wants to give to the church. His anointing that he wants to give to the church. He wants the church to have a spirit of power. He wants the spirit, the church to have an anointing that also gives us wisdom, that gives us understanding, that gives us the ability to look and see what is in this world and not be moved by it just because somebody says we should be moved. We need to be able to discern agendas that are not of God so that we can walk in the things of God, even when the world system is telling us this is the way that you should go. A friend of mine was dating this young lady years ago when we were young. And this young lady told him that she could read minds. He said, she can't read minds. I said, I bet she can read minds. He said, you believe that? I said, I bet she can. So he invited me and we went to her house. He said, her and her mother can both read minds. I said, okay. So we went to the house and we were sitting on the couch. And so the TV was on and the mom is sitting there and the girl is sitting there and I'm sitting in the chair. And so I looked at the TV and put in my head, if you can read my mind, read this. And I just sat there thinking about the same thing. If you can read my mind, read this. And that's focused my mind. The mother gets up and says, ugh, and walks out of the room. So the girl looks at me and said, what did you do? I said, if your mother was coming in my mind to look at something, I told her, if you can read my mind, read this. You ain't supposed to be in here. Don't go in there. Now, why am I telling you a story? I'm telling you because of this. There are supernatural things in the world. There are all kinds of things in the world. And just because you don't believe them doesn't mean they don't exist. And I was an unbeliever and I had enough sense to know, you know what? You ain't got no business in here. But if you come in, I got something for you. You don't know everything. You don't understand everything. So you need God's wisdom and you need God's ability. You need God's power, his anointing on you so that you don't get deceived. So that things don't happen that lead you to believe that's really spiritual, because there's a lot of spiritual things in the world. Now they're going to the Philippines. They're going to see some spiritual things. You go to different parts of the world, you'll see lots of spiritual things. Some friends went on a mission trip to Haiti. They saw some spiritual things. But everything spiritual is not from God. You have to be able to discern what is from God and what's not from God. And if we are surface level Christians, we will not be able to discern. We have to be able to go past the surface and go down into the things of God so that when we get into the things of God, we're able to use what God has for us to use. There's power available, but the power is not on the surface. The power is deeper than that. So in the book of Matthew, in Mark here, where Jesus is sharing with his disciples and his disciples witness that Jesus, by some supernatural power, was able to speak to a tree and the tree dry up at its roots. Let's look at this. Mark chapter 11. We're going to start at verse 20. When you get there, tell your neighbor, I believe that God is giving me an anointing. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I believe he's giving you one too. Amen. Verse 20, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to him, lesson number one, have faith in God. See, there's a lot of people who have faith in a lot of things. Every man has been given a measure of faith. We're told in the book of Romans. So each man has been given a measure of faith. Everybody's got faith. If you don't believe, you say you don't believe anything, you have a, Everybody's born with a spirit of faith. We're born with the ability to believe. That's why if you go and you find any archaeologist and tell them what is the number one thing you find, any dig he finds, any civilization they discover, what is the number one thing you will find above everything else? Worship. Because man is designed to worship. Man is designed to worship. So no matter where mankind is, he's going to worship something. He's going to find something to worship. Even the atheist worships. If you don't believe he worships, attack his beliefs. You'll find out he worships something. Amen? Have faith in God. You have faith. Take your faith. Put it in the right place. Put your faith in God. The next thing he says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Turn to your neighbor and say, I have whatever I say. Now turn to your other neighbor. Were they telling the truth or were they lying? Now the word Jesus is saying, if you believe, then you'll have what you say. But sometimes we say stuff that we don't believe. And sometimes we're saying stuff just to say it. That's why I'm telling you, you need to understand that there's things below the surface that you can comply with the word on the surface, but not really have complied in your heart. I had to discover something. I got mad about something and I said, I'm not mad. I said, I'm not mad, right? I was still mad. Thank you, Burdell. I was mad. I was still mad. I'm saying it, but really, I'm saying it in the moment. When you put me in this situation where you place me in the circumstance where I am mad, then you'll find out whether really in here. See, you can say it away from the situation, but when you're in the situation, what is in you is going to come out of you. So Jesus says, if you can say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, but don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say will come to pass, then you'll have what you say. If you're just talking the talk, you can't have what you say. But when your heart is in it, you're going to have what you say. Now, we're going to keep this, keep your finger right there and go to Matthew chapter 12. Keep your finger right there and go to Matthew 12. We talked about this a little bit last week, but I'm taking this somewhere. I want you to kind of have these as the background to understand what we're talking about. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. We're going to start at verse 33. Matthew 12, verse 33, starts with this. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its what? A tree is known by its fruit. What is fruit? Fruit represents what you produce. That's what fruit is. Fruit is whatever you produce. Okay? So a good tree is known because it has good fruit on it. You know what kind of tree is because it has fruit on it. You can't tell a good tree by its leaves. Amen. You tell a good tree by its fruit. So you walk out and you see leaves that appear to be leaves that would be on an orange tree, but you reach in there and you pull down a lemon. Why? Because they look alike, but they're not the same. You don't know what kind of tree it is until you actually see the fruit. Now there's red plums and there's other kind of plums. You won't know what kind of tree it is unless you pull the fruit. Then you know what kind of fruit it is. So what he's saying here, you won't know what something is unless you see the fruit. Verse 34, brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you're evil, how are you going to say good things? Now, is that just good words or speaking good things? Now, how do we know? Look at the verse, next verse. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now, Whatever your treasure is what's going to come out of your mouth. Now, we try to judge the individual words, but it's not just the words, it's the spirit of what comes out of you. If you're angry, then there's a spiritual anger that's going to come out of you. And you can say nice things, and people will say, that person's mad. Because if it's in here, whatever's in here in abundance is what's going to come out of here. Whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. It's a natural principle. It works no matter what. Whatever's in a person's heart is going to come out of their mouth. But if there's a good treasure in you, you can bring forth good things. Now, Jesus said, if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, what has to happen in the heart? The heart has to be right to have good things happen. Amen? The heart has to be right before good things are going to come out. So when we put these two passages together, at the very end of that passage we were just reading in the book of Mark chapter 11, after he talks about this power to move mountains and what it does, and if you stand praying, God will bless and give you whatever you ask, the very next word he says, but if you don't forgive, neither can your Father forgive you. Why is that important? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. And if you're trying to speak and move mountains, if you're trying to speak and you're trying to change things, if you're trying to speak and cast cancer out of your body, if you have unforgiveness in your soul, then what's going to come out is not the word of God. What's going to come out is your anger. What's going to come out is your unforgiveness. What's going to come out of it, whatever's in you, whatever's residing in you. If you are filled with certain things, you have to do what you can to get it out, because if you don't, you hinder God's ability to work in you. So Johnny gave us a great testimony about being healed. And if I talk to Johnny, and I have, when you talk to Johnny, when I first met Johnny, very first time I met Johnny, Johnny was overflowing with joy. When I first met Johnny, she was worshiping God. She was, guess what? And she had had some difficult things happen. But she was still talking about the goodness of the Lord. Out of the abundance of her heart, her mouth was speaking good things. And you know what Psalm chapter 103 says? It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Bless his holy name and forget not all of his benefits. And when it gets down to the lower portion, it talks about he healeth all my diseases. He puts good things in my mouth so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. So she had good things in her mouth and her youth is renewed. He's healed her body. He's done something miraculous in her. Why? He did it because in her mouth flow the abundance of her heart, which was the love of God. Now, I did not come into this earth with the love of God in my heart. So how do you get the love of God in your heart? I'm going to jump down, do something real quick. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs 4:23. We're going to spend a little time on this passage. Very short passage, but we're going to spend some time on this. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, this is the Old Testament. This is Solomon writing wisdom. He says, keep your heart with all diligence. Okay, let me break this down a little bit. The word diligence in Hebrew actually doesn't mean persistence. It doesn't mean to keep on doing something. It means guard. So when it says, keep your heart with all diligence. The word keep in Hebrew also means guard. But they're two separate Hebrew words. So to break this into English, and again, the translators have to write it so it makes sense to people. Guard your heart with all guarding. Guard your heart with all guarding. How do I guard my heart with all guarding? In other words, guard your heart and put a sentry around it. Put a guard on it. Put a security guard around your heart. Why is that important? Because out of your heart come the issues of life. Now, what's really important here is three things. Number one, the responsibility of guarding our heart comes back on us. Now, we live in a very politically correct society that's offended by everything. Your chihuahua had to spend the night outside last night. Somebody's mad at you. Your goldfish got injured when you were adding more water to the tank. Somebody's mad at you. People mad about everything. They get upset about everything. People, you had offended me. Man, I told you have a good day. That's how you said it. That's right. God bless you. Oh, I'm filing a grievance. For what? You said God bless you. Okay. You take the opposite of that. People get offended by everything. The world is politically correct. The world does not want you saying anything that will offend anybody. And if you do, then somebody's going to be mad at you. Somebody's going to put a label on you. Why? Because the world doesn't understand to guard its heart. The believer does. We have the word here that says, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart. Put a sentry around your heart, because out of your heart flow the issues of life. Spring the issues of life. Flow the issues of life. Now, issues. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think you got issues. Now, let me tell you what the Hebrew word means, and it'll be okay. All right? You don't be insulted because somebody told you you had issues, right? We just talked about being politically correct. Out of your heart flow the issues of life. The Hebrew word for issues means boundaries. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart flow the boundaries of life. Out of your heart flow the boundaries of your life. The limitations on your life begin in your heart. You have to guard your heart, not just against offense. You have to guard your heart because if you don't guard your heart, your limitations are found in the heart. And out of your heart spring the limitations of your issues. Now, here's what I'm talking about. I say to the Lord, Lord, I want you to bless me. Lord, I just need you to meet this need I have. And Father, I give myself to you, and I believe that you're going to meet my needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I just gave him the word, right? And I find myself bumping into the same issue over and over again. Same issue I keep bumping into. Keep hitting the same thing. Issue. I keep hitting this issue. And every time I'm moving forward, this issue arises. Every time I move forward, this issue arises. What is the issue? A boundary. The issue is the boundary. And I'm trying to go past it, but this issue is the boundary that I can't go past. This issue becomes the fence around me. And if this issue, for some reason, is not a hedge that God has placed around me, but a self-imposed issue, then this issue is stopping me from getting into the blessing. If the issue that I have is still stopping me and holding me back, then this thing has become a mountain in my life. The issue is now such a boundary. It is a huge thing here. There, how do I get past this thing? The first time I went to Indiana, I grew up here in the Bay Area, so I'm used to seeing hills everywhere. Y'all know about hills, right? So I went to Indiana, got off the plane, and I had to drive out to this site for work. And so I'm driving along, and I felt very, like something's wrong. And I'm driving, and I can't put my finger on what is bothering me. Something's bothering me. I can't figure out what it is. And I'm driving along, and I finally realize it's flat. These hills are like a security blanket. I know what direction I'm going in because of where the hills are. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just driving. First time I ever got lost. First time I ever been lost in my whole life. Maybe not the first, but it would seem like it was the first one. I was in the car in Atlanta with my kids and my wife in the car. And the GPS is saying, go this way. And I'm saying, no, that ain't the right way because I can feel I'm supposed to be going this way. But again, there's no hills. So I'm off. Hills, mountains represent boundaries. They represent things that give us clarity or direction about where we are. But when you run into a mountain that is in the way of where you need to go, there's only a couple ways to get past it. But what did Jesus teach his disciples? He said, if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, it will be moved. The issues in my life, the boundaries, the things that have come, I'm praying for God's blessing. And as I'm praying for God's blessing, every time I get close to something, maybe the spirit of fear comes on me. And when that spirit of fear comes on me, it becomes a mountain in my life because it has become a boundary. Because if I'm supposed to operate in faith and I've got a spirit of fear to deal with something, how am I going to get into faith and move through it if the spirit of fear is a mountain? Lord, I want you to heal me. Then I sit down, and the food that's served is just what the doctor told me not to eat, but I sure do like it. It's become a mountain. It's become a mountain. And now I have to fight this mountain. Because it's not just the fact that you like the food. There's something else there. Because if it was just that you like it, you could do, I don't like it. You can move away. It doesn't represent that. It represents something else. It represents your freedom that you want to do something the way you want to do it. And because you love your freedom, you want to do what you want to do. And now what is it? It's not the food. It's the sin nature in you. Yes. It's the sin nature that wants to do what it wants to do. And even though it's going to cause you problem, you want to do it. And so you're having a fight with it as to whether it's going to rule or you're going to rule. It's become a mountain. How do you get rid of mountains? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Let's look at this in the Amplified version. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. The heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. You got to guard your heart so that what gets in your heart is only what you want in your heart. And you got to weed out the things that aren't supposed to be in your heart. Let's go to, you're in Proverbs now, go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 9. Very helpful passage here. When I was young in the things of God, helped me out tremendously. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 11. Your word I have hidden where? In my heart, that I might not sin against you. If you want to get over mountains, if you want to get through things, you got to start hiding the word in your heart. You got to start hiding God's word in your heart, because when it's in your heart in abundance, then out of your mouth, the abundance of the word is going to speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you can get the word into your heart, the word will begin to change what comes out of your mouth, and what comes out of your mouth has the power to change things. Proverbs chapter 18 says this. It says, life and death are where? In the power of the tongue. What comes out of your mouth is more powerful than you probably understand. What comes out of your mouth is more powerful than you have probably given it the full attention to. I have to catch myself from saying things, because when something comes out of my mouth, I got to go back and see not just what came out of my mouth. You can start disciplining your mouth to not talk. You said it. You were thinking it. The reality is, whatever's coming out of your mouth has a root in your heart. And if you want the things of God to be manifested in your life, you have to get in your heart what God says is supposed to be there. All right. Let's go to right now. Let's go back to Mark. You still had your finger in Mark? All right, let's go back to Mark and let's hit this. We're going to nail this all the way down now. Mark chapter 11. Now, what we're talking about here is we're talking about changing the treasure. There's a treasure on the inside of you, as we read in Matthew chapter 12. What you treasure will be in your heart. Whatever we treasure is in our heart. So when I gave my life to the Lord, I discovered what I treasured, because it made me take a look at what was in my heart. When I started recognizing what I treasured, I realized that a lot of things I treasured, I wasn't even consciously treasuring, but they were treasured. I found out that part of what I treasured was I treasured me more than I treasured other people outside of me. So there was a spirit of selfishness. I found out that I treasured being right more than I cared about people's feelings. And so as long as I'm right, I don't care how you feel. I found out that I treasured me more than I treasured close relationships. So that even though I'm in a relationship with somebody, I'm really worried about me. When I had to look at myself, when I had to see myself, when I had to look and see, why am I struggling with this? I'm struggling because it's revealing what's in my heart. It's revealing what's really in my heart. See, we live in a world where we live on the surface with people. We don't let people get close to us. We don't let people get close enough to us that we really maybe say what we're really thinking, because again, we're in a very politically correct environment. And so sometimes we don't have the deeper conversations with people that we ought to have. And because we don't have deeper conversations, we live on the surface and we never deal with what's really in our heart. And the effectiveness of us as a church, or in the church of Jesus Christ in general, requires people to go past the surface. The thing that shocked people about Jesus was Jesus walks into an environment and said what was true. That's why Jesus went into the temple And he turned over the tables. Why? Because in this place that should be a house of prayer, there is no prayer going up. Everybody sees it, nobody says anything about it. See, God is calling for a church without spot or wrinkle, but most of the spots are below the surface. Most of the wrinkles are below the surface, and we can cover them up from everybody else, but they're not hidden from God. They're not hidden from God. Now, am I trying to bring condemnation on everybody here? No. You know why? Because the good news is, Jesus went and told his disciples, you got the power to move mountains. If you got boundaries in your life, I'm going to teach you how to move the boundaries. I'm going to teach you how to change what's going on. If anything whatsoever presents itself as a mountain to you, I'm going to show you how to speak to this mountain and make it move. See, I have discovered that God has my best interest at heart. And when I put God's word into my heart, he starts doing things to make things change on the outside of me when I'm bold enough to say what God says. When I'm bold enough to agree with God and say what God says, not to try to condemn other people, but to deal with the mountain that's in my own life. The problem in church is we got the word for everybody else, but we ain't got the word for us. We got the word. We can tell everybody in the world how to live. You need to do this. You need to, you know what? But what do you need to do? I know what I need to do. I need to get this word in my heart. I need to begin to declare and to speak to the mountains that are in my own life. What are the barriers in my life? What is the same thing I've been stumbling over for years and years? What is it? And what does God's word say about it? And once I know his word, how do I start speaking to this thing and make it move out of my way? How do I begin to get God's word and change the situation around me? How do I start changing the environment? How do I start doing according to what Jesus said he could do? He's walking with his disciples and they are minding their own business. They're not thinking about it. They see Jesus speak to this tree and they don't even think anything of it. They keep on walking. They forgot about it. It wasn't until the tree was laying over that they said, wow, what happened? Jesus said, I was teaching you when I talked to it. Now, where does this fit in our lives? Mountains. Mountains. The issues in your life. If in my life I am battling grief, we've all suffered loss, but maybe we're still grieving concerning situations or people that we lost. And we haven't fully gotten over the grief, and we seem to keep bumping into the grief, and life seems like it's going well, and then the boundary, the issue. Here it is. How do I get it out of my life? Very simple process. Number one, have faith in God. Number one, have faith in God. You're not going to move a mountain in your own strength. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you have available. You're not moving a mountain on your own. Now, they just finished putting another tunnel in the Caldecott Tunnel, right? Do you know why they had to make a tunnel? Why did they have to make a tunnel through that little hill there? It was something in there that wasn't going to move. Because if they could have tore it down, they would have tore it down. It's less expensive for us to drill a hole 4 miles long than it is to tear this hill down. You can't move mountains that don't want to be moved. God can move them. Have faith in God, not your own. Your technology may not work. Your technology may not be able to solve your problem. God can solve your problem. God can solve the problem. First thing, put your faith where it's supposed to be. Don't put your faith in the stuff. Put your faith in God. Number one, you got to do that. Number two, speak to impossibilities. If it's possible, do it yourself. If it's not possible, then you need to talk to it. Lord, I need some money. Go to work. You can do that on your own. That's not impossible. It's possible. You don't need to talk to God about that. Now, you might talk to God about giving you favor to get into a right place, but you don't have to talk to God about what the answer is. The answer, you need work. You got the answer now. Now we get into what's not possible. Well, I don't have the resource. Now you need God. You got to ask for the right things. Some people just ask God for a job and then got the job and was mad. Ask for the right things. Speak to the impossible. What is impossible? What is impossible? Why did Jesus choose a tree and a mountain to talk to and teach them with? Because he picked two things that are impossible to do on your own. I on my own strength, I can't speak to that plastic plant and make it do anything, let alone a live one. Of your own strength, you don't have the power. But God makes power available. God makes an anointing available to use his strength to accomplish things in the world. Speak to impossibilities. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor. What's impossible for you? Think about it. Next thing is, you got to operate in faith and eliminate the doubt. Operate in faith and eliminate the doubt. How do you eliminate doubt? By building your faith. Faith and doubt don't live in the same house. You got to move yourself consciously into things of faith. How do you start moving into things of faith? We talked about what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what you cannot see with your eyes. Faith is your evidence. When you put your trust in God, you have to eliminate things that bring doubt. That means that when you are going to God's word and you're finding God's promises and you start grasping his promises to you, when people come into your life and they start tearing down the promise, you got to get rid of the doubt. You can't listen to everybody about everything. Sometimes you learn you can't tell everybody everything because they're not ready to handle what you're trying to do. Not you trying to keep a secret, but some right now, you have to, again, spirit of discernment. You have to discern who you can tell things and who you can't tell things because they can't receive it yet. Nothing wrong with them. It's not for them to believe. It's for you to believe. You just have to discern who you can talk to and who you can't. So there's some things that I need to believe God for that I know it's me and God right now. Everybody else might notice it, but it's me and God. I have to talk to God directly about this. I got to have his word concerning this. I got to take his word and begin to declare his word and to speak his word over the situation so that I can see him bring things to pass. Number four, get your heart right. Now, let's go back, Mark, let's go to Mark 11. Let's go down to verse 24. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you what? You will have them. Next verse. And whenever you stand praying, go back to the previous verse. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray. Next verse. And whenever you stand praying. So when you pray, all this power is available, but when you stand praying, if you have anything against who? Anyone, do what? Forgive him. That your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. In order to move mountains, you got to get your heart right. You got to get your heart right. If you have anything, not big things, anything. If you got anything in your heart against anyone, you got to forgive them. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How are you going to tell a mountain to move when in your heart you have no faith because you're angry? You're hurt. You're upset. You got to deal with those things. You got to deal with this. You got to put the heart back in the right place. How do you put your heart in the right place? It's powerful here. If you can't forgive people because you are still mad about what they did, at least forgive them because you know God's forgiven you. Yes. I might still be mad about what you did, but I can forgive you because I know God forgave me. So I'm going to extend to you forgiveness. Release people. Let them go. Why? Because God has offered you more grace than you can possibly offer to anybody else. God didn't forgive me of my behavior. God forgave me of my nature. Can you forgive a fish for swimming? It's his nature. Can you forgive him? Can you forgive something for doing what it does? Because of that's what it is? Now we're talking about that grace of God. That grace of God. Guess what? That sinner who's mad at you, they mad at you because they're a sinner. That's what we do. If people are giving you a hard time, grace. Jesus hanging on the cross says, Father, forgive them. They're just doing what they do. They don't know what they're doing. Why? They're just operating out of their nature that they have. That's what they do. So I understand that, so I forgive. Now, when you forgive, power is made available. I had this job I took the position, we're gonna close with this. Took this position, they offered me a certain amount of money. I said, praise the Lord, great. Started working, went to my 6-month evaluation, and I'm sitting there at the table, and in comes my boss, my boss's boss, and the HR director. Now, when you're on probation at your job, and your boss, the manager, and the HR director walk in the room, something is not good. They didn't come to tell you what a great job you did. I guarantee that. And I sat there, and I was thinking, something's not right here. They said, oh, well, don't worry. You've been doing a great job, but they slid this paper in front of me. And they said, when we hired you, we were expecting to hire you at this rate, but we've been paying you more than that. And so now, this is the repayment plan for you to pay back the money that we paid you in error. Thousands of dollars, right? I sat there and I started laughing. I was mad, but I started laughing. They said, is everything okay? I said, yeah, it's okay. They said, you don't have to answer us now. And they had three plans. They had that lump sum plan. And they had the over 6 months and the over 3 months plan. Whichever one you want, you pay all this money back. And I got three kids at the house, and I'm like, okay. I left. I came home. I told Tammy. Now I got a boundary. I got an issue. I got something that I can't change. It's not in my power to change. They brought the authority into the room to back up the fact that it's not going to change. That's why the HR director is, we're not changing this. This is what it is. This is a mountain, official mountain. Here it is. What are you going to do? Like I said, I got three little kids in the house. The reason I took this job is because it's better than the job I had. And the reason I was smiling when y'all told me how much he was going to pay me because I needed that money. So I don't have the money to pay you back. So what am I going to do? So I took the paper, I laid it down, and I just prayed. Because I don't trust this, I got to put my faith in God. I got to put my faith in God. I got to put my faith in God right now. I got to start these steps. I got to activate this. I had to then go pray over this paper. I had to go pray over the paper. And then I had to say, okay, I'm focused too much on the paper. Let me get my eyes off the paper and let me turn my faith up to God right now. Let me stop staring at this paper. This paper is rehearsing the problem. This paper is reinforcing the mountain. I got to go to something bigger than the mountain right now. So I had to take the paper, put it away, and I had to start going to God with it, and going to God with it, and going to God with it. And all of a sudden, I knew that God was going to fix it. I don't know how, but something in me said, God's got this. I had to begin worshiping. I had to go take this before the Lord. And when I took it before the Lord, I gave praise up. He gave me blessing down. He gave me wisdom down. Because what does he do? He gives an anointing in order to do stuff. He gave me an anointing of wisdom on how to handle the situation. So I took the paper and I sat down and I went to my computer and I typed a letter. Amen. But I didn't type it to the three people at the table. I typed it to the director. And when I got ready to write the letter, I forgave the company. I said, Lord, I forgive them. They don't know what they're doing to me. I forgive them. So I wrote the letter. I sent it to the director, and I went about my business. I never heard back from them. They never came back to get the payment program. Now, here's how God blesses you. That mountain's moved, right? They didn't come back for the money. That mountain's out the way. But God said, I'm not trying to get you through the mountain. The mountain is not the objective here. I have other I know the plan I have for you is a plan for good and not for evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. The reason I'm giving you power to move the mountains, because I got some other stuff I'm working on for you. I don't need to come down here and move this mountain for you. I want you to move the mountain so that I can do the stuff I need to do for you down the line. So I moved the mountain with my words and with the wisdom of God. And I sent it in. Didn't hear back from them. A year and a half later, my boss walks in the room and says, you know what? I'm retiring. I said, okay. She said, you should apply for my job. I said, okay. All right. Then I find out that not only is my boss retiring, but my boss's boss is leaving too. Then I find out that not only is my boss leaving and my boss's boss is leaving, but my boss's boss's boss is leaving. So I decided I'm applying for my boss's 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 job. When it was time for the interview, I walked in for the interview to my boss's 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 job. I went into the interview and the director looked at me and said, so you're Derry Moten? I said, yes. He said, it was 2 years. He said, for the last 2 years, I've been trying to figure out who this is because I was compelled by the letter that you sent me when we tried to take that money. He said, I read the letter and he said, I said to myself, this letter is so well written. There's no anger in this letter. This is so, it's so factual. It's just right. I always wanted to know who you were. And he hired me. He hired me. If you move the mountains God gives you, then what you do is you remove the borders, the boundaries to your life. You move the boundaries. It should not be possible for a 32-year-old that has no corporate leadership experience to go to being at a senior management position in that organization. It's no good reason, it's no good rationale for that to happen. But God. Because God if we use the tools that he's given us, we'll not only have mountains move, but he will grant us favor. He will grant us favor to move us into positions that we should not be able to occupy. And when we get there, he will get the glory because everybody will know that it wasn't you. Who do you know? I don't know anybody but Jesus. The job I have now, people ask me, how did you get in that company? I said, I didn't know nobody. God opens doors. God gives us favor. God gives us what we need when we need it. Now, is it about jobs? No, it's about the favor of God. It's about God's will being done. It's about God saying, I want to bless you and make your name great. Because when your name is great, my name is great. It's about God saying, I do not allow boundaries to overwhelm my people if my people will walk like my people should walk. I will not allow things to destroy you when you walk in my word. When you walk in my word, things will not get you.